Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll review what we covered last class. So we did 7, right? 6, right? 6 to 9. Yeah. 6 to 9. So what are some of the points we discussed? What is six? Verse number 6, what is Sri Krishna saying? How can?
One die in the
proper state of mind. Yeah, that's a question Srila Prabhupada is asking. Mm-hmm. But what is Krishna saying in that verse? Okay.
Take away from that is it takes a whole life of preparation to remember Krishna at the time.
Mm.
It's not like we can do all the ajanta.
So Srila Prabhupada is talking about example of Bharat Maharaj. So he remembered, he was absorbed in the consciousness of deer. So in next life he became a deer. So what is the effective process? To remember Krishna at the moment of death? Arun, you want to help him?
Can I help you?
Yeah, so what's the effective process for this age?
Chanting
the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Just by chanting, we can we're associating with Krishna. So then at the moment of life we'll get purified, and the moment of death we can remember Krishna, hopefully.
Yes.
You can look at the other verse, we'll just get back in a minute. Okay, so in verse number 7, what is the crux of the verse? No, it's a striking thing for us. We should not give up our prescribed duties. Yeah, Prabhu, you had something? Something? You said something, Prabhu? Saga Prabhu? Okay. So we should not give up prescribed duties prematurely. Even though maybe from the heart we want to become fully Krishna conscious very soon, it should let it manifest by Krishna's mercy. And it should be under guidance. Right? So we talked about several examples. Can anybody state any of the examples we discussed? So many examples. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right?
If you give up too soon without the proper guidance, you'll just be a mithyachara.
Mithyachara, yeah. Some examples anybody can recollect?
Sorry. Only thing I was remembering was that metamorphosis of the butterfly, that's all I remember.
Yeah, that's in the next verse. Talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Sanatana Goswami, to Raghunath Das Goswami. He talked about my personal example, right? Yeah, then what else? So many examples, right? So, any points? Anybody, nobody remembers. Okay. Then, what else? Next verse, text number 8.
Previous verse, Mataji, you should, and even when you are doing the service, you should not be attached or detached, because then if you are too attached to the service and not to the service attitude, then that becomes another problem, it becomes its own hindrance. So another thing you mentioned was our heart has to be very soft.
So that's the point, right? So it should not be too detached, not artificially detached, and not sense gratificatory attached. So it should be in the middle. Like then I was that day only, next day I think. Or that day morning, usually I make oats for kids, right? So I have to boil with water. And suddenly Krishna gave me this realization. Usually, initially I never used to boil enough. So it used to remain hard only. So even if I smash it, it used to become hard. And Prabhu said, you know, you should boil some more. Okay, then I boiled more. Sometimes I used to leave it and go, you know, change something for them. And then I used to leave it on the stove. So it should get overcooked, all the water get dried up and it should become again hard. So when it's raw, it's hard. When it's overcooked, it's, or rather, you know, burnt, it's hard. But in the middle, when it's properly cooked with optimum temperature, it's soft. It's palatable. So that's what I was telling, you know, like that. It should not be too attached for sense gratification, too detached for, you know, neti, you know, negating everything. But if it's in the middle, then Krishna can appreciate our bhakti. And, you know, it'll be very palatable. So then, what else? Text number 8. Again, he's emphasizing that we should remember him.
Constantly.
Right? Constantly we should remember him. Then he's saying, undeviated, no, he is sure to reach me. And Srila Prabhupada saying the purport, mind is always fickle, but we should force it to think of Krishna. Then this example of caterpillar. So what is the analogy of caterpillar?
Caterpillar always thinks that I will become beautiful one day and it will meditate. In the same life, it will become beautiful butterfly. In the same way, even though we are not pure, if we meditate that we want to become pure, and we pray to Krishna, in the same life, we can do that.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, nice summary. It's a very good point, yeah. Yeah, so the next verse, text number 9. Krishna is talking about
10
different ways one can, you know, meditate on him. How, like some of the points, like? How is he smaller than the smallest?
He's in the microbes.
Super soul than even the microbes. How is he oldest?
Because even Brahma came from.
Yeah, he is the first original supreme being, original lord. He's inconceivable. Why is he inconceivable?
Because we just have our own material senses to imagine something that big as well as that small. It's a paradox. We can't imagine, so it's inconceivable.
So not only about that big and small, because spiritual matter
we cannot
speculate and receive it. We have to receive it through mercy. So we talked about example of Srila Prabhupada giving that about Brahma and the swan. Then people said, you know, it's a is it symbolic? Then he said, why do you say symbolic? What experience do you have? You know, then he chastised him and he said, you know, these are all true. We cannot judge based on our experience. Like, you know, otherwise it's called frog in the well. Frog in the well? Who knows the story of frog in the well? Shinma, you know? Oh. Okay. Rumpad Maharaj says like this, right? Suddenly I remembered. I don't know. Okay. Somebody can say frog in the well. What happens? No, Arun, do you know the story? Frog in the well. One small frog is in the well. Then somebody said, you know, there is a big ocean outside. Very big ocean. Can you tell the story?
So like there's a frog in the well and then like one of his friends comes up and he says, oh, there's, why are you living in this small well? There's a big ocean outside. And the frog says, an ocean bigger than this well? How big is it? Is it 2 times bigger than this well? And his friend said, no, it's many times bigger than this well, but he could not conceive it because he was living inside that small well.
Yeah, and also Prabhupada says, like he's tried to he tries to swell himself to estimate this much big, and then he broke, you know, his stomach burst and he passed away, died. So that frog couldn't estimate how big it is. So like that, we cannot estimate by our speculation. Prabhupada generally talks about scientists and tells, you know, the frog in the well. They know only what they can see, but they don't know what is beyond it. That's why people say, can you show me God? Prabhupada said, you know, what is your qualification to see God? Do you have qualification to see God? Even to meet an important person in this current society, you know, you cannot, it's not easy, right? Even president or anybody, do we have qualification to be? Can you say, no, I want to see president, show me president, he will come in front of you or what? So then what is a qualification?
Yes. He has a story, Mataji.
Yeah.
So my friend was asking me the same thing. He was just joking. He's an atheist and we have these constant discussions. So one day he was just being very, how do you say, puffed up, and he said, I'll give you all the money. Let's go to Mount Kailash. Let's take a picture. I want you to take a selfie with Ganesha and Shiva. You do that. Let's go, he said. I said, okay, let's go. But you have to wait there. Okay, how long? Well, you have to prepare yourself. What preparation he has? Then I said, you know, you have limited senses. With that, you are trying to see something that's beyond your senses. Then for seeing just your leader of the country, you have to do so many things. To see God, you have to do so much more. So I said, you prepare for 20-25 years, read the Shastras, read the Puranas, be attached to devotees, be at their feet. 20 years later, you and I will go, certainly you will take, I said. He never replied up to
that. Very nice, good answer. Very nice. You see, you're empowered. Yeah, so we cannot even see an important person in this world, but suddenly we say, you know, show me God. Otherwise, I don't want to. Seeing is believing. Even if when I see only, then only I can believe in God. But then, you know, we eat food. Do we say, I don't know exactly how it works, how the digestive system works, how the whole thing gets divided and comes into nutrition, everything. I don't know the whole system. So, you know, until I know that, I'm not going to eat. Can anybody say like that? Does anybody do like that? So until you know exactly how this process works or how, you know, God is perceivable, I don't want to believe in it. I don't even want to start chanting Hare Krishna. People say like that. Show me, you know, give me proof that it works. You follow the process, you will see the proof yourself, Srila Prabhupada says. Okay, so we'll continue today's discussion. Verse number 10 to 13 is the theme. But mostly these are all about Dhyana Yoga, which we covered already. So hopefully we'll cover fast and then we'll go to the crux in 14th verse, which is more applicable to devotees. So verse number 10. Prayana kala manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva pruvor madhye pranam aveshya samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. One who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and by the strength of yoga with an undeviating mind engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is talking about different ways he can be remembered at the time of death. So one way he is going to cover in this chapter is Yoga Mishra Bhakti, which is starting now. Like how by mixing yoga with little bhakti, one can remember Krishna at the moment of death. This is nothing but Dhyana Yoga, or Srila Prabhupada says Sat Chakra Yoga in this chapter. With Dhyana Yoga we already covered, right, last chapter. So it's the same thing. But then he's talking about what are the different ways we can remember him at the time of death. So he's saying one way is this also. By doing Dhyana Yoga, you can remember the Super Soul at the moment of death by following the process. So that's what he's going to again summarize in this chapter. But later on, after this, from 16th verse onwards, 14th verse onwards, it's going to talk about pure devotional service by which one can remember Krishna at the moment of death. So we'll just read the last paragraph. Prabhupada is emphasizing on the word yoga balena, means like, you know, strength of yoga. It's very important. So he's talking about practice.
The particular use of the word yoga balena is significant in this verse because without practice of yoga, whether Sat Chakra Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, one cannot come to this transcendental state of being at the time of death. One cannot suddenly remember the Supreme Lord at death. One must have practiced some yoga system, especially the system of Bhakti Yoga. Since one's mind at death is very disturbed, one should practice transcendence through yoga during one's life.
So, you know, he's emphasizing on practice. The whole life we should diligently practice so that the moment of death, you know, we should be fortunate enough to remember. So this point about, you know, practice, Srila Prabhupada says actually whatever, you know, anything, you can get it, you can do it, just you have to practice. If you want to practice, you know, you want to achieve, like let's say you want to sleep less or I want to chant properly. It's all just practice. We have to focus and just keep that as a goal, like or rather center, and always work about other things around that, and then and gradually you will see year after year you will make progress and the goal comes closer. It's all about practice. Anything, everything, we have to do practice. And another point is, nothing in this world is easily achievable. Even so-called material things, right? So much we have to work hard, even to get a job or to get promotion, to get a university degree. Even material things we know for sure, right? Because nothing comes for free. Then what do we think about as highest spiritual goal? So how much more we have to invest, right? So, but spirituality means we take it light, you know, it's fine, family is going on, everything is fine, same thing is going to be like this, right? So that's why we become complacent. We don't apply so diligently. We don't take it seriously. No, but if we know that, you know, the value of the goal, how precious it is, and we appreciate that and we honestly desire it, sincerely desire it, then we'll put all the efforts towards that. Prabhupada Maharaj says these statements: wherever attention flows, energy flows. Attention goes, energy flows. Wherever attention goes, energy flows. That means if that is the focus, all our energy will go towards that. Suddenly, let's say, you know, you are being told that you should be out of the job. Then you know within 1 month you have to get a job. That's our attention, that's all. Nothing else you will think about. No, even eating sometimes, you know, if you don't get what you don't like, doesn't matter, right? So whole attention will be, how do I get a job, then everything will, you see that, you know, how much focus you will get. So wherever attention goes, energy flows. But if the attention is spiritual progress, then automatically all the energy also will go there, you know. Okay, how do I get up early, how do I chant properly, how do I make sure that I always hear Krishna Katha, how do I associate with devotees who are favorable. No, all these things, you know, we consciously make these decisions because we want to achieve that highest goal. So anybody has any points or anything which you can share about your own practices? How by practice you achieve something or you hope to achieve something?
Recently I heard one lecture, Gaur Gopal Prerana lecture recently. Mm-hmm. He's one of the topics. He gave so many topics. Mm-hmm. One of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave example like lectures talks about cricket. So in that everybody knows that Sachin Tendulkar is us. So is anyone thinks that if Sachin had come one day, he's become
exactly.
No, right? Mm. He's become very biggest person in the cricket. Means why he become master? Because he has very huge practice. He put whole and our full life in his cricket.
Mm.
He know how to play cricket, how to hit the which kind of balls.
Mm.
Everything he does because he practice a lot.
Mm.
As long as you practice, you get it.
Mm. Very nice.
That's what you gave an example.
Very good problem. That inspired me to share something. So generally, you know, the feeling is when we see somebody advanced, we feel I want to be like that. I want to be like them. But we don't want to put the effort to become like that. They didn't come, you know, automatically they didn't become like that, right? They worked hard.
Yes.
You know, they worked hard to, you know, get blessings and mercy and of course, it's not about our endeavor. It's not like just because I worked hard, I'm going to get results. Working hard is one part, but because of working hard, we attract the mercy and then, you know, that two parts are fulfilled and, you know, we make advancement. No, so, it's not automagic. It's not automagic. It's no magic. Right? So, it's all practice and it's all, you know, especially how we please devotees actually. Krishna is so far away. No, we may feel, oh, Krishna is reciprocating with me, all those things. Yeah, he's reciprocating. But mostly he's reciprocating through devotees. If devotees are happy with us, then we can be assured that we are on the right path. If somehow, you know, we are displeasing devotees, then, you know, we should just watch out, you know, what are we doing, you know, are we doing something right or wrong? Yeah. So that's fine. So we'll go to the next verse. Verse number 11. यदक्षरं वेदविदो वदन्ति विशन्ति यतयो वीतरागा यद्यच्छन्तु ब्रह्मचर्यं चरन्ति तत्ते पदं संग्रहेण प्रवक्ष्ये. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkara and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. So it's now again briefly talking about the Dhyana Yoga, where he's saying one has to utter Omkara. We saw, right, he has to go to a secluded place, you know, deer skin and right in the forest, and he has to utter Omkara and focus mind on between the eyebrows and half eyes closed and all those description, right? So he's summarizing here. But he is also telling about one has to practice celibacy. That's also part of the process. So then Srila Prabhupada talks about this Omkara. Omkara is also it's an impersonal name of Krishna, but it's in some impersonal form. The personal form is Krishna, because that embodies all his features, qualities, everything. When you say Krishna, you immediately think about his bodily form, his activities, pastimes, right? So it's a personal representation. But impersonal representation is Om. So Om is also Krishna, but it's an impersonal, like when you see Om, you remember Brahma Jyoti, it's like that. So that's what he's telling in the first paragraph. So we'll do 6 lines in the second paragraph, the social construction of the world. So he's talking about celibacy and how it's impossible these days to practice, and he's talking about again what is a practical way to do it in this life.
The social construction of the world has changed so much that there is no possibility of one's practicing celibacy from the beginning of student life. Throughout the world there are many institutions for different departments of knowledge, but there is no recognized institution where students can be educated in the Brahmachari principles. Unless one practices celibacy, advancement in spiritual life is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has announced, according to the spiritual injunctions of this age of Kali, that in this age, no process of realizing the Supreme is possible except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, you know, it's Prabhupada is saying, one practicing celibacy is very important, advancement of spiritual life, and it's very difficult. So, even in Bhakti Yoga, at least, you know, we have this, Prabhupada saying, the practical process of chanting Hare Krishna, Bhakti Yoga process, that's given, which is easy process, but still, in order to make advancement, this rule is still important, you know, pertinent to us. So, celibacy means, you know, no illicit sex, no sex outside marriage. But Gruhasthas, there are two types of family householders, right? Gruhasthas and Gruhamedis. Anybody knows these two? Gruhasthas and Gruhamedis. Medhi, M-E-D-H-I. Gruhastha, Gruhamedi. Anybody knows these two?
Gruhamedi is one who struggles in household life.
Yeah, basically his whole...
Krishna is not centered.
Exactly, yeah. Generally householders, materialistic householders, Gruhamedis, they just want to enjoy with wife and children and focus is just sense enjoyment. And in the purport Bhagavatam it says they are devoid of Atma Tattva. They have so many subject matters to hearing, other than hearing the subject matter about Krishna. So many news and so many politics, so many things there. They have keen interest of hearing. But when we say, you know, come hear about Krishna, they say they don't have time. So those are Grihamedis, basically living life in vain. He said that just they get up, a whole day spend in earning money, and in the night, either sleeping or having sex. So that's the only goal of life. That's how the days go. Just day by day, sun is just decreasing their duration of life. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam describes. So that is Gruhamedis. So we don't want to be Gruhamedis. Gruhastha is one of the bona fide ashrama. Ashrama means what? It's shelter. Right? Sannyas ashrama. Ashrama is shelter. So shelter means the husband and wife, they take shelter of Gruhastha ashrama to make progress in spiritual life. So it's also like olden days, brahmacharis used to stay in the ashrama of the guru, right? They, you know, leave home. At 5 years, they come and stay in Gurukula, right? The spiritual master trains them, right? So they take under shelter of the guru. So similarly, even in Gurastha ashrama, we are actually under the shelter of our spiritual master. He's training us how, as husband and wife, we can help each other progress in devotional life and attain the spiritual goal. So it's not that Grihastha ashrama, this is a very important point, Grihastha ashrama is not a license for sex enjoyment or sensual enjoyment. just because okay now I'm a bona fide, I'm following bhakti yoga, okay I'm protected by chanting holy name, everything, okay now I have wife, but still you know I can do still all the things which any grahamedhi could do. It's not like that, you know. Of course it may take practice and it may take some, you know, higher taste to come, you know, until we reach the goal of restraining ourselves, but we should know at least what is the goal. It should be clear. So Prabhupada says the only room for sex life or sense enjoyment in grihastha life is for, only purpose should be for begetting devotee children, not raise them in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise they should abstain. That's our goal, that's the goal, no? That's the place we should go to. Otherwise it's just going to, it's lust, right? It's going to just bind us into the material realm. And also a very important point, Srila Prabhupada says, semen is very powerful if it's within the body. If it's just wasted, then all energy goes away and even duration of life reduces for the man. But if somebody who restrains his semen without wasting it, he becomes very intelligent and very powerful. Even like, you know, brahmacharis, naishika brahmacharis, if you see, you know how powerful they are so potent and pure because the energy is just withdrawn within. That's very, very practical, instruction Srila Prabhupada is giving. Okay, so that's some of the points. What is the context of celibacy in Bhakti Yoga or Krishna Consciousness? So we'll go to the next verse, text number 12. Sarvadvarani samyamya mano hrudi nirudhyacha mudni adhyatyamana pranam astito yoga dharanam. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual enjoyments, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. So again it's the same thing, you know, withdrawing. This is called pratyahara. One of the steps, right? 8 steps. Who remembers 8 steps? First one is asana. What? Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So these are the 8 steps. So pratyahara, at this stage, we are withdrawing from sense enjoyment or in engaging the senses externally. So we'll read this short paragraph.
Practice yoga is suggested here, one first has to close the doors of all the sense enjoyment. This practice is called pratyahara, or withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. The sense organs are required for acquiring knowledge. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue and touch should be fully controlled and should not be allowed to engage in self-gratification. In this way, the mind focuses on the super soul in the heart and the life force is raised to the top of the head. In the 6th chapter, this process is described in detail. But as mentioned before, this practice is not practical in this age. The best process is Krishna consciousness. If one is always able to fix his mind on Krishna in devotional service, it is very easy for him to remain in an undisturbed transcendental trance
or in samadhi. Yeah, so same thing, you know, again describing briefly about the process, and then Srila Prabhupada is again reassuring us that this is not practical. This we cannot, you know, withdraw everything from engagement and just focus on the super soul. The best process is Krishna consciousness. So while doing all these activities, if we can remember Krishna, then we are always situated in samadhi. Doesn't matter, you know, what we are doing. So that's a very nice example we'll cover in the Srila Prabhupada talks about himself. We'll cover when we discuss verse number 14. Okay, so we'll continue the next verse, text number 13.
ॐ इति एकाक्षरं ब्रह्मा व्याहरन् माम् अनुस्मरन् या प्रयाति त्यजन् देहं स याति परमां गतिम्.
After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. So he is now finally telling that, you know, after practicing yoga and vibrating the Om, if one thinks of Supreme Lord and quits his body, but you know, essentially super soul in the heart, then he certainly reaches spiritual planets. So we'll read this purport.
It is clear stated here that Om, Brahman and Lord Krishna are not different.
Mm.
The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So if one quits his body at the end of life chanting
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets according to the mode of his practice.
Mm.
The devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet Goloka Vrindavana. For the personalists, there are also innumerable other planets known as Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, whereas impersonalists remain in the Brahmajyoti.
Mm. So here, because Krishna is saying this person is going to reach the spiritual planets by uttering Om. So Krishna is saying that this, or Prabhupada is saying that Om is also name for Krishna. Because otherwise how will we reach the spiritual planet without linking with Krishna? Because if we talk about demigod, we'll go to demigod planet. Because it's a name of Krishna, even though we are uttering Om, we could reach the spiritual planets. It's an impersonal name, sound of the Krishna. So then Prabhupada is saying, according to mode of practice, devotees who chant Hare Krishna, they also attain one of the spiritual planets. There are so many Vaikuntha planets, we will attain one of the planets. Personalists.
Mataji, you said Om is impersonalist conception of Lord. So if they say Om at the time of death, they will go to Brahmajyoti or they will enter the spiritual planet?
Yeah, so that's what Prabhupada is saying. Because if the conception is impersonal conception, and you utter Om, then you remain Brahmajyoti. But if you are personalist and you follow the process, then you are seeing a super soul as a person, even though you are uttering Om.
Oh, okay.
So your conception is personal. Exactly, yeah. Your consciousness is different. Then you will attain same thing. That's why in the same purport, he is talking about two things. Personalists, even though follow the process, they go to the Vaikuntha planets, otherwise they remain in Brahmajyoti.
But the sound Hare Krishna contains So where, Mataji?
Where basically the point, it's not about, you know, the literal things.
Okay.
It's saying that because the personal conception already contains the impersonal conception.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
When somebody, you describe the attributes, they already contain the thing which doesn't have attributes. Like, you know, if you talk about sun god within sun planet, that, you know, he has chariot with so many wheels, or, you know, so many soldiers and traveling everywhere, but you're describing all this, that also explains that he has an impersonal light which is emanating from him. We are going, what to say, it's more so superset.
I was going to say superset. Yeah, okay,
it's a superset.
Ask him to chant Hare Krishna, then what happens to that person who is dying?
Yeah, so it said that actually, you know, even if somebody forces to chant Hare Krishna, they cannot chant unless one is
somehow they chant.
Yeah, they will definitely get a better, based on how they are situated, better situation. But it's not like Ajamila, right, you know, everybody will go to Vaikuntha Loka. Ajamila also got another chance actually. He had to be born again to perfect his life and then went to spiritual world. Exactly.
Offenseless.
Yeah, offenseless.
Because he was thinking about his son, it was with love.
Mm.
Even though he was thinking about the name, but there was love into it and there was no offense to them.
Mm, exactly.
So
yeah.
It has to be an offense.
Offenseless also. Maybe somebody could have done it in offenselessly also. Maybe they don't know anything. Somebody says, Hare Krishna, then they would have said, let's say. So, yeah, it depends on, you know,
so
they will definitely get a better life.
It counts as a whole life, how you move, you continue. Though you said Hare Krishna at the end of the day, but consciousness of whole life, how you maintain, that is also matters.
Mm.
So based on the karma also affects.
Mm. Yeah, so even though they may say Hare Krishna, they may have many other desires, right? So we have to take birth to fulfill those desires. So it's not that, you know, they want to finish those desires by chanting Hare Krishna. So that's why, you know, they will be given a better chance, maybe a chance to practice devotion service. But other point is, like, you know, if somebody is very atheistic and very offensive, even if your own child says, you know, chant Hare Krishna, they cannot utter the name. It's so, you know, so polluted actually. So that's why devotees who can chant Hare Krishna, they are very glorious. That means they have cleared all the impious sins already. This the that's example, right? Who is that? I think Valmiki, right? He was he's very sinful, right? He couldn't. Then Narada Muni says, you know, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama. He said Rama. Then he says, I cannot twist his mouth like that. Then he says, okay, do Mara, Mara, you do Mara, the kill, kill. Then he said this and he became Rama, Rama. Then he became purified. They cannot, you know, twist his tongue like that. So, you know, because of the sinful, basically the name is withdrawing him, hurts himself. Name is called Nama Prabhu. It's a person, actually. So, name Nama Prabhu is offensive and he offended. And it says, you know, okay, I don't want to associate with this person. So that's why we should be very careful when we chant also. If we do diligently, if we do inattentively, then Nama Prabhu will be very offended and it may take very long time for us to, you know, get the mercy again.
I was just thinking, oh man, I'm in a bad position, I have to chant more seriously.
Yeah, exactly, definitely, yeah. Intentionally, at least, you know, there is no way we should do it. Consciously we should not do it, you know, for purposefully, oh, I'm just chanting and see, watching something on the phone, all those things, you cannot even do that, you know. Just with full attention we should do, and of course while doing it our mind may wander, that's a struggle, that's okay. But that's like, you know, we are struggling with that, but not like, you know, we should not, chanting is exclusive time with Krishna. It's like, it's a very nice incident, we are calling Krishna, saying, you know, Krishna, Krishna, please come, I want to serve you. Krishna is knocking on the door. Somebody is knocking on the door, okay, then we are busy, oh, let me fix this stove, cook, let me, you know, cut these vegetables, let me, you know, listen to this, or let me see something on Facebook. Somebody is not, okay, you're calling, I'm coming, open the door. We are not ready to open the door. They are knocking, knocking, they went away. That's Krishna. We are calling, please come, and then we are saying, you know, but still I'm busy, I want to do this, this, this. So Krishna, how will he come? He's like, you know, okay, better you say, you know, that desperately you call for me, then I will come. So then we will be put into the situations where we don't have any choice but to call out for him. So, yeah, so we should not do these mistakes. Because initially we may do it because we don't have knowledge. But after knowledge, if we still do it, then it's like, you know, nobody can save us. It's very, you know, dangerous. Because spiritual life is like actually double-edged sword. It's a solution for all material problems. But if you don't practice properly in the spiritual life, then you will not get either material thing, you will not get spiritual thing. Nothing. You will be like in the middle, you will just be dumped. You will not put in this boat, you know, you think you put leg and you try to reach that boat and still you, oh, hesitate, go back, go here and there. Then suddenly both boats will go away and you will just dump in the water. We will just dump in the water. And so we should be very, very, you know, diligent about the practices. Conscious. So we'll go to, anybody has wants to share anything or some anything related to any reflections from what we discussed? Any experiences you have, for example, when you chanted very nicely, attentively, how the day was different when compared to when you didn't chant? Anybody has any realizations like that? Like you, how you perceive the mercy? Reciprocation. Did anybody have any experiences? Nobody is chanting properly?
My experience is not like how the day went by, but when my father was diagnosed with cancer, so that time, like when I heard the news, nothing was able to calm me basically. Like I was literally shivering like that. Whatever the fear was, whatever the like, the amount of anxiety and everything. And then only chanting was able to calm me down to go through my day, and even if it was just one round, but then also it was like very diligently, just I have to hold on to one thread, that is Hare Krishna mantra. So seriously, Mataji, that is, I can't tell you like how it had calmed me, like to go with my daily duty, to do things, to feed Rishi and whatever things was there. So but that is that powerful it is. For me that is,
yeah, you felt
it very deeply, like
I have
felt it.
Yeah, see, that's because you have deeply took shelter. That's the whole thing. See, Holy Name is always merciful. It depends on how intensely we take shelter. How intensely, how deeply we take shelter, that much He will reciprocate and give shelter.
I mean, nothing more calm. It is my, yeah, my in-laws, everybody spoke to me. Like, this happens, you shouldn't be worried. Like, nothing could calm me. as
Mahamantra. Yeah, very nice. If you stick to that realization and you work on it more, you will get more realizations, and it's not like, okay,
nothing
when...
Nothing will help you that moment.
That's okay, but you don't want to need to wait for those moments to come, right?
Yeah.
You can always feel the urgency. We don't want to have some disaster to happen in our life to feel urgency. By hearing from Shastras, we know that, you know, our life is running out. We're not getting younger. We're only getting older. And many of us are in 40s, right? All these things, you know, how long we are going to live. So, you know, better focus, make this the focus of our life and try to put full effort. Once we put full effort, then Krishna will definitely reciprocate, right? So, we have to convince ourselves that this is what we want to attain. We want to attain Krishna. This is what we want in this life. We should make that determination. Once we have the determination, then everything else comes. Right? Once the determination is there, then automatically, okay, if determination is there, why do we want to do other things? Why should I spend time things which are just going to waste time? We're just going to be flickering and just going to give temporary happiness. Why should I waste time? Let me do something which is eternal. Then slowly, slowly, by practicing like that, then we'll get taste also. Then naturally, you will lose taste for the other things. No, so we should have the determination. So it's not, we don't need to wait for some disasters to happen in our life to, you know, call out for Krishna. And again, we are not Queen Kunti. We cannot pray, you know. Let calamities come again. If calamities come and again, Krishna, Kunti is saying, I remember you, but we'll forget Krishna more. We'll think, you know, even after chanting so much, why Krishna is not helping, why devotees are not helping. Why this calamity came, you know, I'm not so advanced. Or maybe you think I'm advanced, but I'm not. So, yeah, should be very, very focused. First, that's why, you know, crux is we should, from the heart, we should make this, you know, I want to make Krishna my goal. This, at least this life. Prabhupada always said, right? Just give one life to Krishna. Just make that strong determination, then everything else will fall in place. Okay, so, what else? Yeah. So, we'll go to the next verse. It's a very nice purport. Very lot of important points. So, we'll discuss some more over there. Text number 14. So, 14 to 16, Krishna is talking about pure devotional service. So, we'll talk about that. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityasa tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Wow, see what are the qualifications Krishna is demanding. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So what are the requirements? Ananya cheta, without deviation. Satatam, always. Smarati nityasa, means, always again. Nityasa means again, for every time. Nityasa is regularly. Sulabha, for him, I'll become easily available. That means, Sri Prabhupada says in his lecture, he becomes a cheap commodity. It becomes very cheap, means not like worthless. Basically, easily obtainable. Easily obtainable. It's no, he doesn't have to. Krishna is running towards him, basically. It's like that, you know. He doesn't have to beg Krishna, you know, okay, please come, let me come. Krishna is running towards that person. Again, nitya yuktasya, again, regularly. So, this point regularly is used so many times and without deviation and satatam, always. You know, by doing all this, Krishna becomes easily available. So, we should see, you know, how much we can do all these things. So, we'll read sections of the purport and we'll say, you know, what Srila Prabhupada is elaborating where. So, we'll read, like, you know, 8-10 lines down as indicated in the word Ananya Cheta. So, in this paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the word Ananya Cheta. If you want to write next to your Bhagavad Gita, Ananya Cheta means remembering without deviation of mind. Anya means other. Ananya means no other. So, that's why I am telling about focus or Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Just Krishna. As indicated by the word,
Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahma Jyoti, or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Niskama, which means that he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him all alone. Him alone. Not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas Jnana Yogi, Karma Yogi or Hatha Yogi has his own selfish interest. A perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to Him, He is easy to attain.
Yeah. So, Ananya Chitta means without, He just wants nothing but Krishna. It's a very nice definition. Nothing but Krishna. He wants nothing but Krishna. So, He wants only Krishna. That's what it means. Only Krishna. So then Prabhupada is actually paraphrasing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena tyajati purusha param. It says, you know, tivrena bhakti yoga. Tivra bhakti means with intense devotional service. Akama sarva kamo va means even if you have no desires. Oh, this is a different verse actually. Yeah, this is a different verse. This verse is... Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta. You know this verse, Mataji? Shubha Mataji. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shanta. That means, that's what he's saying. No? Even Bhukti, the Karmis, Mukti, person who is desiring liberation, or Siddhi Kami, person who is desiring Siddhis or mystic perfections. All of them are peace. They don't have peace of mind because they want something selfish. They want something. So if they don't attain it, they'll become restless. But only Krishna Bhakta Nishkama, only Krishna Bhakta is no, doesn't have any desire. Only he is Ateva Shanti. He is the only one who is peaceful. That's the same thing he's telling actually. You can look up, I don't know the name. It should be in Srimad Bhagavatam somewhere. Yeah, I don't know the verse. You can write down if you want. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. You can write down, you can look it up. So, what is the desire then perfect devotee has? What's the desire he has? We cannot be without desires. See, he has only desire to please the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore, he becomes Krishna becomes easily attainable to him. Because just imagine somebody comes to us saying, you know, I don't want anything from you. I just want to serve you. I just want to serve you. No, can you take this? No, I don't want anything. Just want to serve you. See, it's so, makes sense, right? Then you feel like you want to give your life to that person. He doesn't want anything from me. Are you sure? Then, okay, what do you want? No, I just want to serve you. Right? So that's the pure devotee. Then Krishna says, okay, then I will give myself to this person. Actually, he says to gopis, Krishna, that I cannot repay you for your devotional service. Because gopis are the topmost devotees, right? He says, I cannot repay you for devotional service. You just be satisfied by more service. So, it's like this. Your devotee is, you know, just you serve more and be satisfied. So, okay, we'll continue the next paragraph. So, next paragraph is talking about satatam, always.
Personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, such as Rama and Narasimha, and a devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that
plague the practitioners
of other yogas. Bhakti Yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, He is especially inclined toward those who always serve Him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways. As stated in the Vedas, Kanda Upanishad, Yama Evaisa Vrinute Tena Labhyas Tasya Isa Atma
Vivrunite Tanum Swam.
One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as He is. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, the Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain Him in His spiritual kingdom.
Mm. So first thing Srila Prabhupada is saying is devotee remembers the Lord in his one of his personal features like Rama Narasimha, fixes his mind in loving service to these transcendental forms of the Lord. And the main important point is saying such a devotee meets none of the problems of the other practitioners of other yoga. That means there is a chance of falling down in other practices. But this devotee, you know, fixed in bhakti yoga, there is nothing can stop him. Prabhupada very clearly says nothing material can stop your spiritual progress. Sometimes we may feel like, oh, this job situation is, you know, making me not chant, or this family situation is making me not chant. Nothing material can stop your spiritual things. You know, bhakti can only give bhakti, and only offenses to devotees can stop bhakti. Right? These are all because we are not in the transcendental platform. We cannot continue or we cannot be steady in our practices when some major thing happens in our life. But once we are situated in pure devotional platform, whatever happens, anything happens to their body or their house or family or whatever, they cannot but remember Krishna. And that's because they have love, right? So same thing, you know, one example you can take about mother and the child. At least that's what Prabhupada says is the most selfless love in this world. We can see is the mother's love for the child. We talked about one incident about commitment. Radhanath Maharaj was telling, initiation is about commitment. This verse about Om Apavitra Pavitrova, that verse we say, it's like, whether I'm pure and impure, let me remember Pundrikaksha, the lotus-eyed Lord Sri Krishna, that verse. In that verse, Maharaj was telling, during initiation we utter that verse. So he was telling like that, that's a commitment, that you know, whatever happens, I'm going to remember Krishna. Whether it's good or it's rainy or it's shiny or something, whatever it is, I'm going to chant my rounds, I'm going to remember Krishna. So that's a commitment, we are commitment of the heart. So how a mother is committed to the child? Sometimes child will give lot of joy to the mother. There is lot of happiness, you know, maybe, you know, something. No, there are so many ways the child, mother feels so much happiness to see the small child. And sometimes the child will give lot of pain, maybe for nights together, it doesn't allow mother to sleep. But whatever it is, the mother's commitment for the child is the same, that I want to give you the best, you need what you need the best. Right? Not about what, of course, you know, I am not doing like that, but you know, selfless mother doesn't think about her own sleep or her own comfort. This only thinks about how the child is comforted. So like that, the pure devotee is only thinking about how the Lord is pleased. It doesn't matter, you know, what happens to him. No, that's how he could remember him always. Whatever happens, it doesn't get disturbed. So that's pure devotional platform. Then Prabhupada is talking about practical ways how we can attain. It's not like, you know, only at pure devotional platform we can remember, so oh, I'm not there, so it's okay, you know, let me be there like that. But there's a way to get there. The way is, if you start chanting Hare Krishna and you follow the process seriously, then Krishna from within will give us the guidance how to attain Him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pruti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite 10.10. Krishna gives the intelligence by which we can come to Him. Sufficient. You know, we'll get inspiration, right? Suddenly, oh, you do this service, or you know, you move here, or you go to the city. Some inspiration, you know, by which we can come closer to devotees. Like, you know, Prabhu made a conscious effort, you know, even though he wanted to move close to community, and for some time he didn't get chance. But he was very determined. It's even though I pay more every month, he stuck to it. He got one option, he was almost about to get it, but somebody got it last minute. But still, he was like, you know, that's okay, I am going to pay more because I want to have an option. Whenever it's ready, I want to move. Come to this community. So he was, that's determination. Krishna is so pleased with that effort, and obviously they are going to get benefited. No, so that's what, if we have that very clear what we want to do, it's very clear the steps, and sometimes we may have to sacrifice. You know how Naresh Prabhu Mataji initially, you know, they sacrificed by moving closer to temple, even though it may mean paying more rent. But they got so much spiritual progress because of that association of closer to devotees and all those things. So if we do that little sacrifice, then Krishna will reward immensely by giving us spiritual progress. Okay, so then we'll go to the next paragraph. It's talking about, next paragraph is talking about Smarati Nityasa, means remembering regularly. Right? Remembers regularly. Nityasa regularly. Yeah.
The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavana or some holy town where the Lord lives. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavana by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavana."
So it's not about time or place. Of course, you know, in the practicing stages, we need favorable situations. Navya Manthi was sharing yesterday, you know, this week it was little crazy, you know, I made myself very crazy, you know, I was focusing on something else and, you know, my chanting was very this thing and I was not hearing properly. Then I was telling, you know, within 2 days I can figure out my consciousness is somewhere else, you know, it's not at the level which it used to be. I can immediately sense that. So I was sharing. Then she was like, "Oh, Mataji, no, what Mataji, just for 2 days, if you don't chant properly, hear properly, if you become like this, no, what is this?" She was telling, you know, I felt, you know, she was compassionate towards me, you know, she's showing, you know, you know, how fallen I am. So, then I felt, you know, because this is food for soul, the chanting and hearing, it's food for the soul. So, once we don't have enough food, we become weak, right? So, same thing, we don't nourish ourselves with Krishna Katha and chanting properly, we can immediately come to the material platform. Of course, initial stages, we don't even distinguish. We are in spiritual platform, material platform. Everything seems same. But at least when we are a little bit conscious and introspective, we can see actually, you know, okay, see today I didn't, at least even now I feel actually, whenever somehow or the other I give some other thought while chanting, consciously or unconsciously, and start dwelling on it while chanting, that day becomes crazy. But whenever I consciously, you know, no, I have to chant, I have to, they become so smooth. I was talking about, asking you examples, right? I wanted to share also. Become so smooth and so peaceful and so much I feel shelter of Krishna. That's reciprocation of the holy name basically, you know. Because we want Krishna, Krishna says, I am there for you. But if you say, I don't want Krishna, you, but I want to plan something else, I want to do some project, then that project doesn't work also. And the same time, whole day, you have to deal with so many fights, so many issues, you don't have capacity to handle. They will be normal actually, but you will be equipped to handle it if you chant properly. You take shelter of the holy name. That's why Krishna says, "All think of me and do your duties." Right? So you.
We were about to say this, Srila Prabhupada's example.
Exactly. Yeah. In this context. Yeah. Very nice. So we know that I was reading Leelamrita, right? I'm reading. So after almost few months, he was. In New York, right? He's staying in New York, and he stayed in some other impersonalist. He was hosting him, and he was giving him shelter like that. But he didn't have enough room because the philosophies doesn't differ, and he just had to. And he was very careful. He didn't want to give chance for Prabhupada to speak because he will take away his disciples. So he didn't allow him. He was like, you know, just singing. Prabhupada used to sing and go, but he used to talk, and Prabhupada just sit and listen. So he couldn't do anything. So he didn't have much room to. Expresses in the sense he preach how what he wanted actually. So then he just waited for the right time, and then somehow he worked out with him that I will stay separately, but I will come and you know, help you still. So like that he did. In that place he was doing some program, and still it was not going on as it he liked. Then finally somebody suggested, why don't you go to Bori? You know what is Bori? Bori is like, you know, we can say it's like a downtown kind of thing, you know, where all these dumps, they say, or drunkards, they just, you know, shelter, or homeless people, they just lie down on the door, they just fall on the door, or just like that, you know, just people are lying down, homeless people. Even Prabhupada, when he had to go to his room, he had to step across many drunkards. Like that, such a very so-called dark or filthy or very, you know, basically mode of ignorance, completely mode of ignorance. Everything, you know, people into drugs, sex, all those things, everybody is just, they are just everywhere. But then somebody suggested, and Prabhupada said, you know, I don't see anybody as friend or enemy. Actually, I feel my home is, wherever I go, I feel at home. I feel my home is there wherever I go. Then, anyway, he moved there. And actually, then Dhatsarup Das Goswami Maharaj, who was writing Leelamrita, he analyzed the situation there. Even then, in that room of Bauri, it doesn't matter to him. Prabhupada is just translating Srimad Bhagavatam, he's trying to give classes, he's trying to do kirtan. So he just made it into the place of pilgrimage. Doesn't matter, you know, what is happening around him. And even actually Prabhupada himself told in one of his lectures, I wanted to get that exact story and I think we are going to capture it. So he himself told, you know, I also moved to US. I was in Vrindavan, I was remembering Krishna, but I went to West where there is seemingly no Krishna. But I was always remembering Krishna, so I was always in Vrindavan. There is nothing separate. Vrindavan is not separate from me. He told explicitly, so humbly actually, you know, his own words. He told, because I am remembering Krishna constantly, I am in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a state of consciousness, it's not the place. You could go to Vrindavan, so-called, you know, geographically Vrindavan, and remember, think about sense gratification. Then we are not in Vrindavan. But we could stay in we could go to a gambling house and remember Krishna, how Krishna, Pandava, Kurukshetra, you know, gambling happened, or remember Krishna, how Krishna saved Pandavas. Then we are in Vrindavan. So it's not about the place, it's about the consciousness. Are we remembering Krishna in the mood of love? So if that we have that one, then whatever is the situation, we will not be disturbed. We will always think about how to serve Krishna in all the situations. So we will go to the last few lines. Okay, we'll read the paragraph, a very short one. As indicated, the word satatam and nityasa.
As indicated with the word satatam and nityasa, which mean always, regularly or every day. A pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of a pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti Yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the Bhakti Yogis are engaged in five different ways.
Shanta Bhakti,
engaged in devotional service in neutrality. Dhasya Bhakti, engaged in devotional service as servant. Sakya Bhakti, engaged in as friend. Vatsalya Bhakti, engaged as parent, and Madhurya Bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is a great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's what you know. Satatam Nityasa means always, regularly, every day. That's why we have a count for chanting. Somebody may say, oh, I'm remembering Krishna always, I'm chanting, you know, especially mothers with small children, they cannot keep track. So I'm saying, all day I'm singing Krishna, so I'm chanting. No, but still, even Goswamis, they kept track of count. No, they kept the counter and they can't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also put counter. No, that's why you have to count. There is a, so that you have a minimum bar. You should always hit every day. Every day, Prabhupada is saying. And then pure devotee remembers Krishna in any of these five rasas. That's like, you know, pure devotional platform. Where this is a constitutional position or rasa with Krishna is revealed. And then Prabhupada saying the point, pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord and Supreme Lord also cannot forget him. So this is paraphrasing 6.30 verse where Krishna says that for whom, I can read the translation. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So even he seemingly sees a material world, he always remembers about Krishna because it only indicates of his Lord's energy. We gave this example of how mother, even if she sees paraphernalia of the child, she immediately remembers child. She sees the shoes, she remembers, okay, my child's shoes, you know, this is how he used to wear and that time it happened like this. All, you know, remember the child, his name. And then pastimes, know, that incident happened, you know, he fell down or something like that, right? Or anything about the child, a spoon, okay, that day he threw it. So many things, you know, immediately remember. Just by, these are all paraphernalia or in impersonal connection to the child, still the child is remembered. Similarly, even though the pure devotee sees this material energy, which is impersonal or other inferior energy of the Lord, immediately he can only remember Krishna. He can only see how his Lord is very wonderful, that he created this energy. Then that's why Prabhupada is saying, we have the great opportunity to attain that pure love by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we also can attain the stage of always remembering Krishna, only when, if we really want that stage. Again, do we really want to be like that? So if we really want, then we'll get it. If we don't want it, or even half want it, then we'll not get it. Yeah. That's what Krishna is saying, right? Ananya. Ananya is saying, you know, Ananya, you want, you have to be Ananya. And even in the Draupadi pastime, he told, right? Unless you fully surrender, then... You had some questions, right? Oh, it's already time actually. That maybe sometime you should ask. In the group, then everybody gets benefited. You should write down before you forget. Or with time, you'll get answers anyway, so it's okay. Yeah, I think I went, before I came to Krishna consciousness with my friends. After that, devotees once went, all the devotees. Then we thought, you know, it's association with devotees, eating prasadam like that, we went. After that, I didn't go. Maybe with kids again, we'll go. But it's not about, that's why I'm saying, it's not about activities, it's about the consciousness. I could go, anybody could go to Tulip Festival, and for the sake of preaching or, you know, service to devotees or more association with devotees, right? If that's the purpose, then you will be Krishna conscious there also. What is the motivation going to Tulip? Is it enjoying the nature, right? Or is it service to Krishna? That's what determines.
I want to see Krishna in the nature.
Yeah. No, that's also one thing. Or if you feel, you know, I would like to see Krishna directly in temple rather than seeing in the nature, if you come to that level, then you would rather, you
painter
know, stay.
And the paint, basically.
Huh?
Painter and the paint.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's what his painting is. So I'm appreciating the painting and forgetting who is the painter, basically. So
yeah.
How do I, like, associate with that? So, like,
we could be at that level, that's okay, no problem. At least through that, we are remembering Krishna. So gradually we develop the taste for personal service to the Lord. When we have it, then we feel, I actually can serve Krishna better. So the whole thing is about, what is my service to Krishna? I can serve Krishna there, I can serve Krishna there. But what is a better service to Krishna? You know, how can I serve Krishna better? I would serve Krishna better in maybe directly chanting his names and directly hearing, rather than indirectly. So then you feel, okay, I'll serve better like this. And that same way, you will get reciprocation also. The amount of happiness and satisfaction you get in seeing Krishna in an impersonal way is very less when compared to personal reciprocation through chanting or hearing. Yeah, like that. Yeah, any questions or comments? Anything you want to share?
Talking about Sahu Prabhu was more advanced than me, and I was saying that, and he was saying he was not, and we were going back and forth. I said, I am a Godas, not a Goswami. So that he was saying that it was very funny because still I'm slave to the senses instead of being the master of them. So I felt very bad. So I was saying, I have to pray for that. So that's bad. But the name Godas was pretty funny because. So
we
thought it was
cool. Okay. So we call ourselves Das, right? So you're saying Godas. Okay. Yeah, we all are like that too. So greater or lesser extent, we are all struggling, controlling our senses, right? Yeah, but we all need each other. With each other's help, in association devotees, we can make progress. So we can stop here then. Okay, all glory Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.